This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And let's get it going.
Look, I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be alright with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah. I just want to be alright with it. Yeah.
Tell me what you guys think about this line. 13 points, 4 of 15 for player 1. Player 2, 4 points, 2 of 3. Okay, that's game 1. That's all in one game. Then in game 2, player 1, 15 points, 6 of 15 from the floor. And then player 2 in game 2, 6 points, 3 of 7 from the floor. Would you assume that those guys are, like, you know, top 3, 4 guys on a team?
On a playoff team? If Ben Simmons was playing, I would pick him as one of those guys.
Oh, it's not him. Well, okay, let me ask you this. Would you think that those guys are $100 million players putting up those kinds of numbers?
I would hope not.
Okay.
But I know they are.
Player one is Tobias Harris. Player two is Al Horford. Combined salary of $289 million.
I don't even know if Al Horford played in today's game because I don't remember him doing anything.
No, he's invisible out there. I mean, honestly, for the Celtics, this is a great thing for them. He looks invisible out there. It's bad, man. But I mean, he's not even the story coming out of this one. It's Embiid. I know Embiid put up some. What did he score? 30+ points. 34 points.
But this is exactly why I say, like, you can't look at someone's stat line because it doesn't tell the whole story. Because I thought Cantor outplayed him when Cantor was out on the floor, and Embiid probably gets the most foul calls, right up there with like LeBron and Giannis. It's unbelievable the fouls he gets. He can travel whenever he wants. But he's just
was awful.
He's just such a dog. And I know Ty says, like, this is how they play defense. He is such a dog on defense. He doesn't do anything on defense. Nothing.
Yeah, my theory is that, like, they're trying to make sure he doesn't get into foul trouble because he is a lazy player and he does not get, like, put his hands out and not move his feet and get fouls like that. And so I don't know if that's what they're trying to do, but that – pick and roll defense they're doing is stupid because Kemba Walker had so many mid-range shots that were wide open, pull-ups from three because they were going under or over, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever pick and roll coverage that they were playing, they were just exploiting it all night. Like, it was just horrible.
At some point, you would think, this is where I think Brett Brown is just getting undressed. I'm like, Brad Stevens is obviously a superior coach to him, but you got to switch it up at some point. Like, put in different personnel. He's even got Al Horford not switching on these screens. Like, they're letting Kemba, Tatum, Brown, all these dudes are coming off screens. And I know, like, the other guy, they're trailing from behind, but they're still just – I mean, they're knocking them down. This is 2 games in a row. At some point, switch it up. Do something. Play zone.
The one that blew my mind the most was on for the Sixers was on the offensive end when Cantor was forcing Embiid to take – you know, mid-range jumpers, and he's hitting them. But, I mean, I'm going to take that all day long. It took forever for them to start running pick and rolls. And then I know, like you said, Ty, the other day, Embiid's not going to roll, but still it was creating those mismatches every time. And I saw Josh Richardson get by Cantor a few times. But it took them a long-ass time to be like, hey, let's try this. Let's do something different. Brett Brown, I think you said it in our text thread, Matt. See you later, Brett Brown.
Yeah.
It has to be after this.
It's over for him, but it's not – again, it's obviously part of his fault, but like My thing is that the Sixers have come out both games. Like, you know, I'm like, damn, like even today they came out hot and they did in the first game, but it's Embiid. It's what Embiid does, right? He comes out hot. He's aggressive. He's going to the rim. He's being physical. By the second quarter, the dude's settling for jump shot. When he started hitting jump shots, I said, good, thank you. Let him shoot those. Because then the offense is stagnant. It's him catching the ball and four guys. At one point, there was four guys standing on the other side of the court while he was posting up on the wing. Yeah, that's good offense. That's good offense.
I'm looking at the first quarter box score. He was 6 of 9 for 15 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds. Like an awesome start. At that point, I was like, dude, the Celtics might be in trouble in this game. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Embiid went back to being Embiid, shooting threes, like taking defensive possessions off, and he finished 11 of 21. So 6 of 9 in the first quarter, 5 of 12 the rest of the game. Like he just – like you said, Matt, he starts hot, and then he just completely fizzles. Like doesn't even take shots. He's like, just not like – he has a bad shot selection. He doesn't even take it. Like 12 shots in three quarters.
Yeah, he's just – he's a dog, man. That's what he – I think he's a dog. I really do. He's a dog. He's an absolute dog.
Not the kind we're talking about when you bring up Marcus Smart.
The total opposite. Who is it that's one bone?
To be fair, he did get fouled a lot.
Wait, what?
No, I was saying to be fair, Embiid did get fouled a lot, but also the turn that Matt made. He has an insane whistle.
Well, that one that he was driving on, and I don't know if Kanter got called for the foul or if there was a second player on the play, but he just dropped his shoulder, went right into Kanter, and Kanter had position and everything. I know he was right near the circle, but it was a foul whistled for Embiid, and it was like he just went right through Enes Kanter. How is that not a foul on him? But this is a big net for you, Ty.
Shaq would get fouled by like seven guys back when he played. Embiid's got a they gave him a soft whistle.
Yeah, he might get it. I mean, the treatment he's getting right now may be better than what Harden gets. In all honesty, is ridiculous. But Ty, seriously, I mean, that's the first thing I'm watching. Kanter gets his 9 rebounds. He scores 10 points. That's all good and well. We know he's going to get the rebounds, and usually the points come with it if he plays enough. I think he logged, 21 minutes tonight? And then who was it? Where was Tice? Tice only played 12 minutes. We saw almost no minutes from Robert Williams. It all came late. Grant Scrub Williams time. Played well too. But this is a big one. This is a big win for you, Ty, because you've been on that Kanter train for a while now, and it definitely, you know, you were definitely right about it tonight.
Well, I definitely knew that the matchup suited Kanter much more than, you know, Tice, and I think he improved it tonight. And I don't know what happened to Kanter to where Tice to where he only played 12 minutes. You said
only 12 minutes.
There's something up with him. I'm telling you
in the first quarter too. So
did you see? I meant more on the offensive end. Like he was very hesitant.
Oh my god, that was so. There was one in the corner, and Scal said it himself. And I was thinking, as soon as right when he shot, it's like, why did you hesitate? He went and pump faked, and Embiid's nowhere near him. Just go up with it.
He won't take the shot unless he's in rhythm. It seems like
the first game he was so aggressive on the offensive end. That's why he played more. Kanter was just
right.
Kanter was a better matchup tonight, but. And it's it's like you said, Nick. If Kanter's on the floor, you have to get him in pick and roll situations. If you're just posting Kanter up, that plays to his strength. He can guard guys in the post,
right? And it's going to be a problem if Embiid actually, whenever he actually decides to roll a little bit, because then there's a huge mismatch. But they weren't doing it a ton. I don't know. I mean, and I question if Brett Brown's going to get them to adjust for next game because it took so long for them to do it tonight. Yeah, there's no way.
They all those dudes quit. They don't want to be there.
Their defense is so bad. They can't force turnovers. I'm looking at the box score of the first to third quarter, which is really when the Celtics like core guys played. It was the bench guys in the fourth quarter. They forced two turnovers. And I think one of them was that play where Marcus Smart bumped into Embiid and they called they reviewed it and called a foul on him. So really they only had one.
Right.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Their defense is just awful, which, I mean, it's great for the Celtics. They're not turning it over, so they're getting more opportunities.
You guys brought up the screens, I think, a little bit earlier with the Celtics and how they were doing that on the offensive end, and that was something, you saw Kemba getting more opportunities, and Tatum, I mean, he ended up with one less point than Embiid tonight, but his impact on the game was so much more significant. He got so many. I mean, there was one look he got when they were going to the left hand side of the court as we're watching it on TV, and he was just wide open going to the rim. I think he ended up 8 for 12 from three.
He was shooting the piss out of it.
I mean, he was outstanding. I mean, he is looking like, I think, yeah. I saw a stat on NBC Sports Boston. I think it was the most threes in a game made by a player who was 22 years old or younger, and he surpassed Kobe and LeBron. So he's feeling it.
He's on another level right now. Jaylen Brown's the same thing. Both those guys, I mean, mm-hmm. they're just playing really well. And that's why – and to be honest, they're going to have to. With Gordon Hayward out, they're going to have to carry the load, and same with Kemba. What I thought was interesting was Ojeleye was the first one off the bench tonight, and I'm guessing that's for – that, you know, Brad went with that look because obviously they don't have Brad. Usually Marcus Smart or someone's replacing them for the guard right. position. But he lasted, what, I don't know, a minute? He was out real quick.
10 Grant minutes by the end of it. It was
4 minutes. How about that?
What?
Grant Williams played 5.5 minutes in the first quarter. I mean, like,
I thought Grant Williams was outstanding. And not the two threes he made, obviously, is good for him. They were wide open. I mean, literally, it was like a practice shot. But he's a very good, very smart defender. So I liked seeing him. He seems like he has more confidence, too.
He looked more like the guy we'd seen during the regular season before the pandemic. Yes. And then he goes and puts up 9 points, 6 boards. You can't ask for more than that. The one I'm curious, Matt, that your opinion on it is Brad Wanamaker, because I thought he looked really good today. I know Ty did, too.
And here's the problem, though, right? I want them to be consistent. Like I read Twitter and everyone's like, oh, Wanamaker's so good. It's like, all right, well, it was one game. Like, yes, he did. I'm not going to say he didn't play well, but it's like, it's about consistency. Same with Grant Williams. I hope he can continue to do that. That's why, like, guys like Tatum, Brown, Kemba, like, I have the ultimate confidence in them. And that's why I've never really had it in Gordon Hayward, because it's just not always been consistent. I'm about consistency. So, yeah, I hope. Wanamaker, they're gonna need Wanamaker now with Hayward gone. They're gonna need anybody off that bench, because I don't really trust anybody up there. I mean, Langford, I hope he can step up and be consistent, but that's what they need. They need consistent minutes from that bench. That's what they need.
Yeah, they do. Canner three pointer, a Langford three pointer. And Ty, this was after Monday where we were talking about Hayward before we knew that it was a grade three sprain. I stuck to the 5-game prediction that I had. You were talking sweep. Now you move it back to 5-6. After tonight, though, I mean, I know Kai's not feeling too great about the Sixers right now, their chances. Do you think a sweep is a legitimate chance right now?
Depends on game three.
Yeah, I think they might steal one, but that would have to be a Jason Tatum, like, bad shooting night, like we saw earlier in the bubble games. That's the only way I see it happening is either Jalen or Jason Tatum have to have, like, a really bad night. Like, if they play average, they're going to destroy this team every night. They should, at least, which is crazy because I'm looking at the box score. This team, the Celtics, once trailed by 14.
Yeah. The Sixers were playing outstanding. Dude, they weren't missing in the first. The Sixers were not missing a shot in the first quarter, and they lose the game by, like, 100. So – I think if you're a six in that locker room, they must be all done. Like, come on.
You're right. You were up huge. I know Embiid, I think he scored 8 points in, like, the first 5 minutes. And then you walk out of that building tonight, you lost by 27 points. That's embarrassing.
They just don't have an answer for the three. They don't have an answer for Kemba, Tatum, and Brown. They run them off screens. And until they switch that pick and roll defense, Kemba literally, I watched Kemba take 5 jumpers that were, like, practice coming off elbow jump shot. No one's there, wide open. It's like
no hand. Yeah, nothing.
Good defense. Nothing. Embiid's just sitting his lazy ass in the paint.
Now, Matt, when we were talking last night and you weren't with us, Marcus Smart is a guy who we've been, you know, skeptical of, and I know you have gone on record saying he's the fourth most important player on the team. Tonight, he ended up with 10 points. I don't have his line in front of me in terms of his field goal percentage.
He's the fourth most important now.
It's an undeniable fact now. He's the most important guy who's available. Fourth most important guy. But how did you feel about how he did tonight?
I thought he did all right. I mean, I don't think he's really shooting the ball well from three, but what he does on the defensive end, you just can't. You can't find it in the stat book. You can't pull up some rinky dink stat and tell me, oh, he leads the, you know, like everybody loves to do with Gordon Hayward. Oh, he leads the small forwards. And no, What Marcus Smart does is championship level, is a championship level player in the sense of like he does all the little things. And but unfortunately now he's gonna have to score more just because Gordon's not there. You're missing 17 points a game.
Well, if you're getting contributions from – if Tatum's going off for 30 points every night and then Kemba and Brown look like they have to. Yes.
But that's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not. You're absolutely right.
And they can't all lay on Smart either. It's got to be a group. It's got to be guys like Grant Williams, Romeo Langford, which I'm still confused about. Did Romeo Langford, like – I thought he was getting surgery. No, it didn't happen?
No, I guess not.
He just said, no, I'm good.
Put the brace on and helped his jump shot.
That was a good one. Oh man, he's just that's what Indiana breeds, right, Ty? Those kind of players, gritty, tough, battle through everything.
Jump shooters, battle through injury.
That is definitely the first thing I think of when it comes to Romeo Langford. But I mean, right now, I'm not ready to go and say that they're gonna sweep. I was curious if you were gonna flip flop on it again, Ty. But
gentlemen sweep
five games. I think maybe they lose next game. And that's it. If they win next game, then it's all over. I mean, I don't know what Embiid can do differently other than try and stick his ass in the paint all night. But, I mean, Cantor's not letting them get any easy buckets in there at all. So, this shit's done. I mean, it's just a matter of time at this point.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if technically wins game three, it's still a series in that sense. But I would agree. I mean, if you're the Celtics, you got to step on their throat in game three. Then that puts it away.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, Toronto's going to sweep the Nets on the other side. So you need to be in the same line as them. You got to have rest. You don't want to be fooling around with the Sixers. You got to put them away.
As if it wasn't bad enough for the Nets already, where they lost that game and they had it. Then Joe Harris has to leave the bubble for a non-medical personal reason, which I have no idea what that's about. But obviously there's been a lot of other stuff going on in the bubble too. The Thunder Rockets game, I was really wrong, at least in the first that one, and then we have the two upsets in the first games. What?
You know what screwed them up, really? And believe me, I didn't watch the game long because I hate watching Houston Rockets play basketball. Watching them play basketball, it's not even them doing well. It's just like not basketball. It's literally one pass and someone chucks a three. It's really like disgusting basketball. Or James Harden just dribbles 75 times and gets a foul call. But anyway, what they screwed OKC up with, they switch everything. Mm-hmm. So and obviously Chris Paul and I think Shea Alexander uses the ball screen like Chris Paul does. They love to come off and like obviously get a switch, but there's no bigs. Houston switches everything. So I think that really screwed them up and they never adjusted to it, which I don't know what the hell Billy Donovan was doing. So I'm very interested in the same game too and see what adjustments they do, because their offense was horrendous.
Still a chance for it to be the best series at least in the first round. But it's starting to look like the Lakers one might be the best one too, with the Blazers pulling off.
Damian Lillard is just he's the best. He's got to be the best player right now in the bubble. I mean the guy's literally shooting from the logo.
I think that's Tatum got one from the logo tonight, but that was a fluke. Damian Lillard, he was the most valuable player of the seeding games, I believe. Yeah, he was. But Ty, I know you saw something with Paul Pierce talking about LeBron in response to this whole loss. What was it exactly?
Yeah, Paul Pierce is obviously a LeBron hater and is always like never giving him credit and says he's not a top five player. Hmm. And he said that again yesterday in First Take. I've said he's not a top five player, but if they lose in the first round or if they don't even win a championship, then he's not even in the GOAT conversation. Like, just don't even bring it up anymore. If they lose to the Blazers or if they don't even win the NBA championship, which the Blazers was the headline. Hey, if they lose to the Blazers, he's not even in the GOAT conversation, which I think that's fair. The NBA title, no way. If they don't win the NBA title, that's not like a failure on LeBron's season. Like, this team is different than before the bubble.
If they don't – well, not having Avery Bradley is obviously huge, especially against Damian Lillard. But if they don't make it to the conference finals, that's a huge failure on their part. I don't care if you don't have Avery Bradley. It shouldn't matter. LeBron is supposed to be one of the best in the league still, and Anthony Davis is an absolute savage too. So, I mean, Michael Jordan is the GOAT, I think we're all in agreement on that now. It's not LeBron James. At least we agree with that on this show. Not in the top five, though, if they get bounced in the first round. I don't know how I feel about that.
He's saying he's not.
Well, he said that's a weird way to frame it on Paul Pierce's part, because you don't go from GOAT to, you don't go from top five to then not being in the GOAT. Like, you're not in the GOAT conversation, and then you get bumped out of the top five. You know what I mean?
Well, he doesn't put him in the GOAT conversation now because he's not in the top five, but he's like, I don't want anyone to bring that up to me anymore about it.
Oh, okay.
You guys can't even have that opinion anymore. Not just me.
Hmm.
Paul Pierce is a hater, bro. In that sense, like, he's just hating on him. But
well, you know that those guys, they've said it before. Like, they don't even when they see him now. KG, yeah. Same thing.
I respect that, but like, I'm not a LeBron guy, but he's top five of all time. Like,
he's top five of all time.
That is ridiculous. But I mean, I definitely think it takes a hit on his legacy if he loses in the first round to the Blazers, in the sense of like
as the one seed.
All his fanboys need to shut up that he's still – like, the whole GOAT talk for him, if they lose in this first round, like, you should definitely not say anything, because if you do, you're an idiot. Mm-hmm, I mean, right. I know still people will argue – you know, there's still people who think he's the GOAT now, which is makes me want to puke, because it's like last night. Like, he had 20, 15, and 15. Great. And they lost. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I hate people that do that shit. Like, it bothers me. Like, I don't care about his stat line if they don't win.
So many people do, though.
It's irrelevant.
They just had the plus minuses up for the game tonight. I think Brad Wanamaker was top with 28. I have NBC Sports Boston on still. But anyways, I think that you put it best, Matt, in the past when you said LeBron belongs in the conversation for number two all time. It's him and Kobe. I think that's fair.
Yeah, and you know me, I'll always argue Kobe just because I'm a Kobe guy. Doesn't mean I'm right, but I'll just argue that because that's my dude. But
I think it's a pretty fair conversation to have given the titles and stuff like that. I know, like, certainly I saw someone else say the other day, and I can't remember for the life of me who it was, but someone said how Magic and Larry Bird get I think it was Vincent Goodwill. Of Yahoo Sports said how, like, Magic and Larry for some reason get no respect anymore at all. And I think that's actually pretty fair, because when you just I understand you're not going to put them ahead of Michael or anything, but they don't get any respect for playing in such a, you know, prime era, eight rings between the two of them, right? I think is what it is. Yeah, so they don't get any respect now, at least.
It's because people never watch them,
right? I understand. Right? Still.
No, I agree with you.
They're like the first guys left out of the conversation. That's wise. They're like five and six on the all-time list. Like, they're never in the conversation. They're the first left out. So it's like,
they'll always be top ten in my
mind. Kind of like the NCAA bubble. It's like, oh my god, like, how do they get snubbed? They should have been in. It's like, well, no, like, they were not good enough. They're not good enough to be in the conversation for the greatest of all time. So therefore, they're the first ones out.
That's fine. I think that I think most Celtics fans would, or at least most older Celtics fans would disagree with us about them being greatest of all time, but with Larry at least. But I think top five, I'm not going to go and sit here and break that all down right now. Christ almighty.
It's okay. Listen, yeah. MJ's the GOAT. And if you don't agree with that,
yep.
Sorry, you probably don't really understand basketball. It's probably,
especially if you think LeBron's the guy. But
no, no, it's definitely not him.
No, it's not even close. Well, and I don't think Kobe's close to Michael either, if we're being honest.
No, of course. No one is. Like, there's levels to it, right? And that's.
Yep. There's levels to this shit.
That's what people got to understand.
Yeah.
Brad Wanamaker could be up there with MJ, but when it's all said and done, you know?
100%.
So we haven't talked since Hayward got his diagnosis. We found out he was going to be out for 4 weeks to bring it all back to the Celtics.
I think he's done. I don't think he'll see him again.
You think he's done? Well, because you think
the kid mm-hmm. thing too, you know.
And you think without him, the Celtics lose to the Raptors?
I think without Gordon Hayward, they'll be exposed more against Toronto, because Toronto has way better defenders, I think, mm-hmm. than Philly. Like, they're long and. They just got a lot of weapons. They got a lot of
chemistry.
Weapons.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
And I think it would be again. Tatum and Brown would have to go superhero mode against them to beat them in a series. I think it'll be tough to beat them without, you know, Gordon Hayward because you just don't have another scoring option to go to. Unless, like I said, if guys are playing like they did tonight, then I think it's a different story. But I don't see no one in the East really scares me. Like, you know, I watched Toronto. They struggled with the Nets. They pulled out at the end. And you saw Milwaukee, what happened to Milwaukee. In this bubble, like, it's just so different. There's no home court advantage, right?
Right.
The atmosphere is gone. You don't have that home court to rely on. You have to show up and ball. And that's why I think it's been very interesting. And I've been like, I mean, when have you ever seen, I mean, obviously I don't think it's ever happened, but like, I would have to look it up, but two number eight seeds beating the number one in the first game. I've never seen that in my life.
Yeah, so I think, Abby Chin threw out a stat. Either it's never happened before, it hasn't happened in a long ass time.
I mean, that's awesome. Awesome.
It's outstanding.
I mean, I watched both games and I was like, wow, like you wouldn't know who's one, who's eight. It was great.
That's what you want. But so then we just got to have these in the bubble forever. No fans allowed whatsoever. No, or neutral sites.
Well, I'm against it in the sense of like, that's why I said when whoever wins the championship, I don't think it shouldn't deserve an asterisk. Because
it's different.
It's been great basketball. But I just think it's different because you watch the Jordan documentary, right? And the atmosphere as he closed those games out were awesome. Like, even like LeBron when they won game seven in Oracle. Like moments like that, that is pretty awesome. Like, that's overcoming a great team and a tough atmosphere. And obviously you just don't get that in the bubble, but.
Yeah. Maybe the Gordon haters, the Gordon lovers will give you a break for your take on how the Celtics will do without him against the Raptors.
They can say whatever the hell they want, but at the end of the day, all I care about is Tatum Brown, because that's the future. And you need to find, I think after this year, Danny needs to find some, what I think, some shooters. He needs like some, give me Duncan Robinson. Give me some guys that can knock down threes around those guys. Bring the local guy back. I think that's what they're missing. They're missing guys that can really stretch the floor and shoot.
Yeah, they need one guy who can be that knockdown guy. I mean, Harris is another guy who would be a nice fit, but he's not leaving Brooklyn. Ty, do you think that Hayward's done for the bubble?
Yeah, they're not getting past the Raptors, so he's not going to be in the – they're not playing Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals, so
– without him.
I think without Hayward, you're losing to Toronto, so – That's my early prediction.
I think it's going to be tough to get past them. I agree with you guys. I've seen and I know they said 4 weeks, but I saw Himmelsbach say it seems like it could be more like 2 weeks or something. But even then, you're going to lose him for a portion of it. Yeah, they don't know. The Celtics are definitely making it. They'll make a worse prediction. Like they'll predict farther out.
I think them and Toronto still be like a 6-7 game series without Gordon. I'm saying I don't think you'll see Hayward again because of the injury / you never, like, if his wife has the kid, he's gone anyway, and then he has to quarantine. So I just I think it was the end of the Hayward. You know, could be the last time you see Hayward in the Celtics series. It could be.
Unless he trade.
No, if he opts out.
He's not opting out.
I can't imagine him opting out with the amount of money he's going to get.
He's getting $35 million next year.
Yeah.
Hey, someone will sign for 35. Tobias Harris makes 30-some million. That guy was invisible as hell tonight. I didn't even know he was playing.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, remember we went into this series saying that Harris was a better player than Hayward. He was in the top five. Kai said that. I think none of us argued with him on it.
I think you know what it is. I think. Yeah. No. Why didn't we argue that? Jesus. No, we don't talk about it. Like, does Gordon Hayward, I wonder, and this is just me throwing, does he like his role as being, to me, because he's the fourth guy. He ain't Kemba, he ain't Taylor. He doesn't have the ball in his hands as much as those three do. Does he like that? Or if he saw a better situation that gave him, you know, reasonable money, you know, obviously it's not going to be 34, but they give him 25-ish. Like, you know, would he leave Boston? I'm just saying, I'm throwing that out there. I'm curious.
No, it's a fair question, because he came in expecting to be the number two guy, and now he was going to be a scorer and all that. And it's just been, on top of all the injuries that he's had to deal with, it's been a change in role. I wouldn't blame a guy for wanting to get out if that was the case. I mean, this is also the same guy who said, "I'm pardon my take," right, Ty? He said, "I'm pardon my take" when the Celtics made that run the year he got hurt. Didn't it bug him a little bit?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't hear that.
I'm pretty sure he said that on Pardon My Take. I mean, Matt, do you recall that?
I don't know. I don't remember it, but that's what I'm saying. That's the vibe I kind of get with him. That's like, obviously he hasn't like verbally been outspoken this year about it, but I don't know. I would be curious about that. Cause obviously I know if you're a basketball player, you probably have confidence in yourself. So I was just curious if, cause it's really not his team. Like he came in, like it was going to be, like you said, 1-2, he's going to be a 2. He's not either of those.
Here's a headline from 2018. This is on WBZ's site. Gordon Hayward admits he had mixed emotions about Celtics' success without him.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. I just throw that out there. That's why I said that it could be the last time seeing a Celtics jersey. So I'm just curious. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but.
Ty, John Anderson just tagged me in a picture. Go ahead. What?
There's what? A 0% chance he opts out. Zero.
I'm just saying. Could be. Could happen.
Marking it down right now. 0% chance.
If he does opt in, Danny, for the love of God, get me some guys that can shoot the ball.
Tyler, I was going to say it was real quick. John Anderson just tagged me in a picture of Dalen Keefe, producer, for those who don't know. It says it's three kids hanging around. Are the Celtics better without Gordon Hayward? He knows our show, I guess. All right. Anything, Ty, you got anything before we get rolling? You good? All right. Matt, anything?
Hopefully game three is just, we step on that throat.
So that's
for you, Embiid.
Friday night. So we will talk to you all then.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. I just want to be alright with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions. I'm just hoping for some.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.